Hello, my name is Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com. Welcome to the first Floydcast, something a little different. These are intended to be audio files, the kind of thing you can, you know, maybe listen to when you're driving to work, and a little less edited, a little less, maybe less mainstream, a little less concentrated. I think some of the videos I've created have been very sort of concentrated information, concentrated thoughts. This will be a bit more rambling, a bit more formulaic, like everybody else's podcast. One of the things I'd like to start off with is to say that I'm using a new microphone, and what a difference. My other microphone was from one of those dictation software programs they come with microphones, you know, headset and the mic, and the fidelity of it, the ability to pick up sound was horrible. Well, I guess that's not fidelity. The gain, the ability to pick up sound was horrible. The fidelity, the quality was horrible. It was too trebly. And it got worse with time. Kind of awesome features if you want looking for a reason to throw something in the garbage. So, I just, you know, did the old Google search. What is the best microphone? And I wanted a USB microphone. I wanted a microphone I could just plug into the computer. And it came up with two candidates, and this is called a Yeti, Y-E-T-I, like the famed creature of legend, you know, like the abominable snowman. The Yeti is sort of this mythical mountain creature. I don't see the connection. Anyway, it's a gorgeous, old-school mic. It just has... I could probably talk for 15 minutes about how great this thing is. First of all, it's very solid, the base, and so you can put it somewhere and it's not going to move. Second of all, it has every feature you could imagine. I got my headset plugged into it so I can hear what I sound like. As bad as I sound, I can torture myself and listen to myself talking. It has four different microphone settings. You can direct or you can filter what this microphone picks up. It can pick up just your own voice, like when it's sort of, think of it like it's only picking up you. It can do an interview where it's designed to pick up only you or the person exactly opposite you. It can try and pick up everything all around you. And there's a fourth one, which I don't remember. Probably doesn't matter. What else? It's kind of old school, so it's classic microphone material, so that when you're doing an interview, people aren't going to forget. You know, with your little Bluetooth headset stuck on your ear, they're going to forget, well, hey, why are we talking? But with this giant microphone in front of you, you know why you're talking. You're being interviewed or you're doing the interview. It's got, you know, like a mute button on it. Really handy. You can adjust. You plug your headphones into this unit. So you have separate headphones now, and I got some good quality ones. I plugged them into the microphone unit. And as I say, I can adjust the volume of what I'm listening to. So you just suddenly feel like you're in a studio. And it just works. Even on XP, which I'm still using on my main machine. I've got countless machines here, but my main machine is still XP. Maybe one day I'll rant about that. Make a note. Rant about XP. Alright, that was pretty noisy, sliding my keyboard drawer. That's maybe another thing I'll do one day, is I'll talk about my desk. I have this great desk. It's one of these desks where you can't imagine how you coped without it before. You're going to hear from time to time dog sounds. That was a dog shifting itself behind me, or to my side. I have two dogs. We have two dogs. And one of them is an older golden retriever. His name is Tank. T-A-N-K-E. Or as some people say, Tanky. No, we don't allow that. We terminate anyone who says that, so don't even think about it. The other dog, his name is Elka. And she, actually both are rescues. We have a cat that's a rescue. Oh no, I think the cat is the only one that we didn't rescue. Although we've had other cats that we've rescued. Anyway, getting back to Elka. Elka's a pit bull. We found her, my wife, yes, I'm married. As you may have noticed, I generally sort of withhold personal information from web articles and, you know, stuff that I ship out to everybody. I'm sort of anti-Facebook in that regard. Anyway, my wife was at work and she saw this little dog outside sort of running around and getting terrorized by everything. So there it was, middle of winter, and this little four-month-old dog, as the vet later estimated, was trying to scrounge for food on the streets of where we live. She sort of scooped it up, brought it home, and first, you know, talked to me, and then I said, sure, we'll have a look at it. She was like, you know, we don't have to keep it, but just have a look at it. So she brought it home. She carried it in, sort of handed it to me. I took it and sat on our couch and just patted this dog for, like, the next hour. And that was it. Love at first sight, and there was no question about what, where we're going to give it away or whatever. And the cool thing about having, by the way, are you noticing how much I'm rambling? I'm noticing how much I'm rambling. It's alarming. Hang on a sec. Okay, that was me taking a very high-tech break so I could type without annoying you. Anyway, rambling is good because rambling is more interesting things I can talk about in the future when I'm more organized, which will never happen. So we rescued Elka, and then we thought, well, you know, it's going to be a bit of a handful, but we can do it. We did some dog obedience classes. Neither dog gained anything from these classes. Not a thing. I think the only thing I realized is I need to find some reasons why I don't want to train my dogs, because my dogs are untrainable. So if I can just come up with reasons why they're untrainable, why they're not trained, then I'm covered. So I've come up with a number of reasons why my dogs are not trained. With regard to Tank, the wonderful Golden, he's the kind of dog that melts your heart. You know, many Goldens are fine, fine dogs. Sort of by definition they are. But I find they're kind of restrained. They're sort of like a fine horse that a show dog, like you've groomed it, and the fur is clean, and it knows how to stand, and it's polite, you know. That's how many people's Goldens are. Our dog is not like that. Tank's not polite. He will knock over something with his tail and not be bothered by it. He might hurt you with his tail, and he can't help it. He is tail happy. The other thing is, Tank, when he walks, he wiggles in the middle. I should film that sometime. He doesn't walk like a normal dog. He's like double-jointed in his back. And the cool thing is, it looks like his body is wagging. And that kind of summarizes him. Tank wags with his whole body. He really does. He's also, an interesting thing with Tank is he's very submissive. By the way, I've decided I'm going to talk about nothing but my pets at some point in the future. But for now, I'm going to ramble. And part of the rambling is randomly talking about my pets. Anyway, Tank is very submissive. And the nice thing is that, you know, you rarely get into dog issues with other dogs. They might sort of growl at him, and he just, like, you know, squats further toward the ground. You know, they might even bite at him, and he'll just sort of, you know, crouch down, and they'll be like, oh, I sure showed you. And he's like, yeah, you did. Now can we be friends? It's kind of cool. So, anyway, Tank's a free spirit, a truly a great dog, a great outdoor dog. Tank is meant to be a campfire dog. If I could, I would live outside in a camp with Tank. What I mean is not that I necessarily want to do that, but if I could, for Tank's sake, I would have him living outside in a camp. He's just phenomenal in that environment. He loves it. He loves being outside. He loves it being cold and wet. The wetter and colder, the better for him. He will sit in puddles. He loves sniffing things that are wet. It just brings out the aromas. He's a fabulous dog. Elka, on the other hand, is also a fabulous dog. See what I did there? As you may have noticed in this highly random Floyd cast, I'm trying it for a little bit more humor. As a way to cut through the thick outer shell and get to the gooey Floyd Center. Gooey? The wimpy Floyd Center. You get the idea. So Elka, on the other hand, is almost the opposite of Tank. When we first got Elka, and we try and walk her, first of all, she didn't want to be outside. Second, when she was outside, she was terrified. Third, she didn't want anything to do with water or cold. If there was a puddle, she would go out of her way to avoid that puddle. If that meant taking you out and dragging you sideways, you know, she would do that. So Tank would, you know, walk along, walk right through the puddle, be like, yeah, this is awesome. She'd be like, puddle, puddle, get away from me. Notice that my voice is sort of cracking there, another random distraction thing. I'm just going through a healing crisis. Hang on. Pause time. All right, be honest. When was the last time you heard the word healing crisis? See? You are going to learn something from these podcasts, these silly... See, I said podcast. Nah, I just lost 5 points for that. You are going to learn something from these Floydcasts, he said, editing himself. All right, going back to Elka. So Elka hated the outside, was afraid of it, was cold all the time. Inside the house, you know, she started to, you know, sort of adjust to that environment and have at least some... Hard to describe Elka at first. Some semblance of sanity, I guess I would say. But she wasn't happy. She never wagged her tail. And after a number of weeks, maybe months, when she would want to go outside, when she had decided it wasn't raining and it was safe and yada yada, she would go to the back door, and sometimes she'd actually wag her tail. Just briefly, when she was about to go outside, that was it. That's all we saw of her wagging for months. And gradually, you know, she started to really enjoy going outside and wagging that tail, you know, at the thought. Anyway, long story short, now, you know, we come to today, and she's 5 years old, so it's been a while. We've rescued her 4.5 years ago, and she's still afraid of things outside especially. She still doesn't like water. She knows the weather. You don't have to tell her, Elka, it's raining outside. She knows. She knows. You know, you want to go outside, Elka? Are you kidding? Do you know what's doing out there? It's cold, and, you know, she'll wait to the last minute. But she doesn't make a mess. She's never made a mess in the house. And it turns out that I'm just so glad that we've had, of the two dogs, these are the first two dogs in my life that I've, you know, owned, in quotes. I hate that word. It's another thing I want to talk about someday. Future pet ramble. See how good I am at pausing now and not driving you crazy with typing? Anyway, with these two pets, one is, you know, the classic great dog, a golden retriever, arguably the best dog you could have for a family. And yes, I am part of a family. Another thing I'll ramble about later on. So we have this classic family dog, and then we have this dog that, oh no, it's a pit bull. Well, it turns out that both are awesome. I would encourage anyone who's, you know, a dog lover or wants to experience dogs, I would encourage you on either of these dogs. They are truly phenomenal. Get your golden early so that you can encourage them to be happy. Because a golden will still be that perfect family dog. That dog that protects your children when they're near the stairs, as Tank did automatically on numerous occasions. We had a very young child over, and we have it downstairs. And I noticed Tank doing this protective behavior, and I thought, I'll just sort of test him. And this child was walking around, and I just called Tank over away from the stairs, and I was just patting him and talking to him. And finally, he just looked at me, and he went, hey, I'm sorry, if you don't mind, I'm working here, and I got something to do. And he just walked over, and he stopped the child from getting near the stairs. Goldens just have that. They just have so many cool qualities. Another one is, he's a natural comfort dog. He knows who needs him at any given time. And he'll just be there. He'll set his clock, he'll set a reminder, and he'll be there. Nighttime, go to the kids' room. You know, at this time of night, go there. Phenomenal. Really, they say dogs are man's best friend, when probably gets all the feminists angry. Oh, that might be another thing I'll talk about, he said, trying to provoke controversy. I'm not really trying to provoke controversy, but, you know, regarding feminism or the female half of the world, you know, my thought is to help everybody. So I am trying to do that. But part of helping everybody, too, is to clarify our thinking and to at least have a perspective on something that makes some sense. And I think, you know, what sort of bothered me about feminism, which I was forced to sort of, you know, being older, you know, I've been putting up with it for quite a few decades. What bothered me was that when it first was foisted on us, you know, was that they said, you know, women are equal and women are better. Women are neither that. Women are different. Women are better, yes, at some things. Women are worse at others. Men are better at some things. Men are worse at others. And we are all idiots if we don't try and figure out what we're good at. And then when the other person is good at something different, go, hey, awesome, you're good at that? Awesome, you do that and I'll do this. That's called working together. And feminism was designed, you know, it was like black power or something. You know, it was designed to be militant. It was designed to be not just revolutionary. Because, I mean, today, today, equality, gender equality is revolutionary compared to 100 years ago. And that's enough. That's enough. There's equality, and the revolution has happened. But how we got there, I object to. And, of course, it turns out that we got the way we got because they, the 1%, the 1%ers did it their way, as they do everything their way. Every single thing in life you and I experience, with the exception of nature, and let's just say some of nature, because some of nature is pretty contrived too, but it's being done, there's a bigger hand guiding us. Isn't that kind of annoying? Well, by the way, for the 1%ers, I wanted to welcome the 1%ers. The doctors and history teachers and professionals. I know you've enjoyed some of my articles and my videos, and for that I thank you. It's great to know that the problem causers and supporters of those problem causers respect my thoughts enough to put up with listening to the truth. These Floydcasts will be no different. Truth will be told, lessons learned will be shared, and you 1%ers will be unmasked. So welcome. You're listening to a musical interlude. There's going to be two or three of those throughout the audio, so I know you got to put up with it. Plunka, plunka, plunka. Copyright issues, no music actually playing, he said, providing a weird sort of voiceover to himself. Music interlude over, he said in a pseudo-computer voice. All right, we're back. My guest today is my pets. So, where Tank is this phenomenal human dog, probably one of the most human species breeds of dog that I know of. By the way, I've always considered the second tier of great dogs as Labs, chocolate Labs, brown Labs, black Labs. They're all really phenomenal. The one thing I would say there is they're kind of like maybe like say you had a personal guard, maybe like a personal trainer. And that personal trainer, you know, they just sort of stand next to you and like, you know, you're doing good. Yeah, you can do it, you know. What I'm trying to say is with Labs is that they're still a little too dog-like. And the classic thing with a lab is, you know, how much they love to retrieve a stick. Once you throw a stick, you've started a process that will never end until you die. You will expire and you will be a pile of bones before your lab will stop retrieving that stick. Well, a golden's not like that. A golden will chase a stick like, oh, you want me to chase a stick? I'll do what you want. You want me to bring it back? I'll try, but I might forget because I'm really more focused on you, you see. And that's how a golden is. They are truly a jack of all trades. Maybe a golden is more like a butler, where a lab is like a personal trainer. Or a personal trainer's not right. Maybe a lab is like a chauffeur. If you want to go in the car, the chauffeur will do a great job. But that's all the chauffeur does. You know, if you want to go for a walk, the lab will do a great job on that walk. You know, my dad had a lab, and he would walk into town, small town, but walk into town, and he never used a leash. The lab would just hang out outside. He'd go inside, and the lab would just sit down outside. Labs have that ability to not, you know, freak out in situations. So getting back to freaking out, Elka is the opposite of our golden. You know, afraid of everything, can be very aggressive, but, you know, we quickly realize everything Elka does is it's defensive. It's done out of fear. And so, you know, we sort of set about creating a different environment for Elka so that she had less fear. We figured, like, forget regular training. We have to de-fear Elka. Speaking of declawing, we have not declawed her. Her ears have not been clipped back. She's undersized because she got runted by being out in winter, abandoned in wintertime and being left outside with no food. This is Elka's food diet. Garbage cans. You know, people put out the garbage. That was her food. So guess what happens? Normally there's no cans, so you have to wander around for hours. You find a can, and you're about to, like, try and snoop the lid on it, you know, poke the lid off if you can. And imagine a small dog, and these days garbage cans are enormous. You can fit, you know, a small truck. Well, not a truck, probably, but a smart car. You can fit a smart car in a garbage can these days. Anyway, so somehow, I don't know how, but she would get access to some of the garbage. And what happens? This giant machine, this hydraulic monster comes along and takes your food. And this happens 100 times a day. And then you have to go to a totally different area tomorrow, because there's no cans put out 2 days in a row. You go to a different area, and you start looking through cans again. So needless to say, Elka is super freaked out about garbage trucks. If she had to pick, you know, you had like a psychological test, and you had Elka sitting in a chair, and you showed her pictures, she would point at the garbage truck and go, That caused me more trauma right there, is what she'd say. Anyway, when Elka gets freaked out, she will turn into this different creature. She will bark. If she's on a leash being walked and she sees another dog, she will come unglued. When we walk her, we use two leashes, not one. We have one of those choke collars with the spikes going into the neck. She has, you know, good solid, like lots of neck flesh. She's never been hurt. She never yelps. In fact, she gives no indication that she's even aware that she's being clamped by spikes when you pull on that collar. She is untrainable on the leash because she's so afraid. Anyway, when you're walking her and she sees another dog, she will just run out like she's on a giant rope swing. She'll run out to the end of her collar and keep going. Well, the collar is finite. It's wrapped around my body. Yeah, I don't hold it in my hand. I wrap it around my body. More on that later. See, I didn't even pause at that time. And so then she will swing up in the air toward the dog. And she'll keep doing that. I mean, she could probably do that for half an hour if you let her. So then you got to, you know, yank her away from that, change direction. So all of that is sort of like, yeah, that's my experience with pit bulls. They're awful. But it's all done out of fear. inside the house, Elka is a completely different dog. And one of the things is we never did anything to encourage aggression in Elka. Never anything. We don't. You know, like some the classic thing where you have a chew toy or something and the dog grabs it and you grab it and you're like, and you're both yanking away on it. We never did that with Elka. We never wanted to encourage her to do anything regarding chewing except one thing. Dogs need to chew. You know, it's sort of part of their being. And some things that they chew, they'll just shred them and make a mess. And we did that for a few years, and that was fun cleaning it up each time. But we decided to stop that fun by buying vinyl bones. You can go to the pet store and you can buy these vinyl bones. And, you know, it's basically a plastic bone that is super strong, heavy. It's like a hardwood. It's like the density of a hardwood. It's really dense and heavy, and they last forever. We probably still have every original bone, and they've literally been gnawed down to a nub. They're about one quarter as long as they were, but they never succumbed. And so the dogs have something great to chew on. They love chewing on them. They don't make a mess. You don't have to buy one every 3 minutes, and they're really awesome. Anyway, that's the only thing we ever encourage them to chew on. And by the way, speaking of chewing, you know, bite strength and yada yada, our golden, he really has a gentle bite. When you hand him a treat, half the time he'll drop it because he doesn't want to clamp on and bite it. Elka is more like, what would be the word? Let's imagine you're at a carnival and you got one of those guys, those hucksters. You know, they're sort of slick. They're like a magician who's trying to suck your money. That's kind of like how she takes treats. She will just kind of suck it out of your hand. She's used her tongue, but she'll also use her teeth. But she uses her teeth very delicately. You know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. But there's always that awesome power just behind the scenes. Elka's never bit me. She's never bit anyone. She's never drawn blood. She's never come close. I'm trying to think if Tank has ever come close. Tank is the most gentle dog. I've only ever heard Tank growl at another dog once. He was at the ocean playing with this puppy. They're having a great, great time. Nice thing about a puppy is the puppy won't dominate Tank or won't dominate him in a way that we have to stop. And Tank, of course, won't dominate anything. And so the two can just play like friends. And so they were doing this. They were having a great time. Tank will often lie on his back and be the submissive one. And this other little puppy was playing with him. And then the little puppy bit that one part of a male dog that the male dog doesn't want to have bitten. And Tank growled at this little dog. And it was like, whoa, never heard that before. Anyway, Tank is just super gentle and really awesome. Well, Elka is also gentle, but what will happen with Elka is when the fear kicks in, she will start being reflexive. She'll start being automatic. And I've seen it a couple times. She will start an automatic bite reflex. And it looks like one of, you know, a biting machine, like one of those kids' toys on wheels where the jaws automatically go up and down. She'll just start doing that a little bit. It's never been a problem, but it just shows that so much of, you know, the fear of a pit bull is really the dog's just being a dog. You scare it, you corner it, whatever, and it's going to protect itself. You know, I could have shortened this whole Floydcast to about 3 minutes if I just said, you know, dogs are fine, it's the owners that suck. You know, anyway. So the point is, by having a golden and a pit bull, I've had a chance to experience the extremes. Dogs are a great way of meeting others. The fun thing about having a pit bull and a golden, you know, you see other dog owners out walking, and I've taken clients to dog parks and that. So you talk with dog owners, and they know you love dogs, and la da 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 da. And then you go, oh yeah, we got a dog, we got a golden, you know, we got two dogs, you know. And they're like, oh, what's the other one? And then you tell them it's a pit bull. Most are understanding. And, you know, you tell them your, you know, your little spiel, and they're like, oh yeah, okay, I'll believe you. So the fun thing is, because, you know, my website and one of my, you know, big missions in life is to help people think. The only way we're going to change this world, getting back to the 1%, the only way we're going to change this world is if we learn how to think. And I did say learn. Thinking, actual thinking, useful thinking, we are not taught to do. Absolutely not. Let's be clear about that. We are force-fed, like that goose where they grab onto his neck and they force food down its gullet, grain, wheat, whatever. They're not allowed to, like, do anything to it, and it just goes straight into their gut, and it sits there like a rock, so it'll fatten them up. That's how we're given information in this culture, in this society. It's jammed down our throat over and over again. Oh, yeah, some of it's called commercials, and we can go, oh, yeah, well, that's commercials, and I don't watch TV. Hey, commercials are everywhere. product placement is everywhere. So speaking of cell phones, speaking of product placement, you know, once you realize how horrific microwave radiation is, Wi-Fi, wireless, cell phones, smart appliances, once you realize how horrific microwave radiation is, how destructive it is, once you've experienced that personally, then you look at commercials, you look at ads, you look at what's being hyped a whole new way. And man, you see those cell phones in TV shows and movies everywhere. You see the ads everywhere. Of course you do, right? It's so slick, it's so cool, it's so modern. And it's so part of the new world order. It's so part of the 1%. Why? Well, first of all, they can track us. You know, the way the 1% stay being the 1% is, the game is uneven. The playing field is uneven. It's not level. It never will be. It never will be unless we choose what game we're playing and where we play it. Like this Floydcast is my playing field. It's very level. There's one player, and he always scores. Who wouldn't want to watch that game? Nah, seriously. It's level. I have no pretense, no angle here other than truth. That's it. Truth. And not freedom. This is not about freedom. I've taken away the freedom. There's no freedom for someone else to talk in this podcast. Actually, there would be if you wanted to, and you wouldn't mind me ripping the shreds. I mean, seriously, I'll try and get back to it. Freedom is one of these things that's touted. You know, 4th of July freedom, but also, you know, Boston bombing, well, freedom, you know, USA, USA. You know, freedom is just pushed and pushed and pushed. Why? Because freedom is not truth. Freedom is emotional, and freedom can be controlled and directed. Freedom, as we are presented it today, is really patriotism. And patriotism is saying, we need your help to go and shoot somebody so that we can profit and you die. That sort of form of patriotism doesn't sound quite as good as the recruiting poster. Not quite as good. I respect military people, by the way. I'm not going to have a pro-military slant to these talks, but I respect, because what I like is the military system, the boot camp system especially, is how you take someone that's, you know, Flabby Jack, we'll call him, and you turn him into Fighter Phil. But you do that through discipline. And you do that through telling the person you can do it. I was told when I was younger that I could do it. The thing that I could do, I was told, was breathe. I was asthmatic when I was younger. I would get asthma attacks and then, you know, end up in a hospital. Luckily, it only happened once or twice. They jammed me full of drugs. My parents went, hey, drugs are stupid. We're not going to do that anymore, and they never did. My older brothers probably had to put up with the drugs a little longer. But anyway, so I went through a sort of a... That's why I, you know, got this health kick, this, you know, different take on health, is that I've gone through it. I've gone through the system, and the system is less than worthless. Worthless means it has no value. The medical system has a value of controlling, turning us into those sheep and those cattle and force-feeding us like that goose. And every vaccination, it makes you sicker. It lowers your energy level, just like a cell phone, just like fluoridated water. They all do the same thing, eating meat. It's like a vaccination. It's like drinking fluoridated water. You're putting poison in your body. Whoops, what a surprise. Your body is now lower in energy. But here's the amazing thing about our body. Getting back to that healing crisis, I believe I mentioned at the very beginning. Your body doesn't just have a linear response to things, which is why they can get away with so much. They bombard you with microwaves, and hey, there's no obvious effect 5 minutes later. It's more like 5 years later. And speaking of Obamacare. Why is Obamacare happening? I have a very simple explanation or theory. It's being foisted on us. I mean, only in America could we foist something good on people and penalize them if they don't forcefully take something that they have to pay for. It just sort of boggles the mind. Anyway, we're being forced, all of us, to have Obamacare because the cancers are coming. Microwave hell is coming. Cancers take 5 to 10 years. And it's a fantastic way to control us and kill us off. And it's all ramping up, all under the umbrella of smart appliances, Wi-Fi everywhere, WiMAX. WiMAX is one of the new things where Wi-Fi is going to be able to go very large distances, like not just the 3 miles or whatever between repeaters. It's all kind of brilliant. It's an extension of eating meat. It's an extension of religion, of controlling and turning us into sheep. It's like fluoridation, very much like it. I think fluoridation was there, you know, for 50 years, that's they were going to control us and kill us off with fluoride. And they're doing a good job of that, and it is effective, and it has a lot of negative consequences. And, you know, really, let's just say fluoride is a profitable part of their portfolio. Let's say that with as many P's as possible. But microwaves is even better. It's even better because with fluoride, fluoride is so dose sensitive. In other words, it's so poisonous. With most things that are supposedly good for you but have a minus side, i.e. most drugs, as they call them, I call them chemicals, being a chemical engineer. With most chemicals that we supposedly should consume, the sort of industry goal, requirement, standard, ethic, is the dose that you take should be 100 times or more less than the fatal dose, the harmful dose, the destructive dose. Because if it's too close, let's say the harmful dose is 10 and you're taking 5, that's too close. And some people are going to take 6, or they're going to take 2 that day and then they took 10. Now they get hurt. Anyway, with fluoride, that's why we all get the same, roughly the same concentration of fluoride in the water. It's very close throughout the world when they add it. It's like within a factor of, let's say, 3. With toothpaste, if you use a tiny little pea-sized amount, or if you slobber it all over your toothbrush, it's only a, maybe, let's say, a factor of 5 or 10. With microwave radiation, the dose can be, and I've done actual calculations and I've seen it, there can be a variation in dose of a factor of a million. That's between Bob and Joe down the street. There can be a dose variation of 1 million. This is awesome for them. I mean, this is really close to a bullet for them. They don't like somebody? Set up a repeater tower near them. The repeater tower, the masts, are directional. You can aim those suckers. No one is measuring this. It's done by, I was going to say stupid contractors. Maybe they're stupid only in the job, the profession that they've chosen. Is a stupid profession. They're not stupid, but they've been sucked into a stupid profession. The lack of standards on cell phone towers and masts and that is so scary and shocking and staggering. This is, for this, what are we, 21st century? I have to think about it. This will be the great killer of this century. Microwaves. No doubt about it. Absolutely guaranteed. Why? Because you just look at those commercials, man. Smart appliances and Google buys Nest and, oh, your smart thermostat. I was at someone's house recently and they had a smart TV. And the little kid says, great little kid says, I can use the remote control in my bedroom and it goes right through walls. Yeah, how does it do that? Well, the old remotes were infrared. They did not go through anything. You could block them with some body sweat covering that little light bulb, infrared light bulb, on the front. Well, now the smart TV is using microwave radiation. Now imagine, in your bed, you've got your smart TV and you got your little remote control and you can control your TV, you can control it just the way you used to. But now you've got microwaves in that little remote control that, of course, you sleep with. You have it right by your bed, maybe you fall asleep, and now it's on you. This microwave radiation transmitter, like your cell phone, like a cell tower, like a microwave oven, let's just call it your own personal mini microwave oven in your bed. All for your smart TV. Well, anyway, I think I've rambled to a spectacular level in this talk and touched on a number of issues that no one cares about, and hopefully it's been funny once or twice. If it's been funny more than that, then my bad. This is Floyd Maxwell, podcast 001. Doesn't that sound like it's the version number of a product? All right, we have been testing product 001, the Yeti version of Floydcast for Monday, February 17, 2014. Good luck with your life and take care.